Woo, thumbs up. You know what that means? Well, you can hear the music. It's Jacob's Producer's Choice, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, Education Talk, Educated Educators, Talking Education, Dr. Tim Slucker, me, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, him, and Jacob, he, the other producer, yeah, not the other, the producer. Jacob, Johnny and I are so happy you invited us to be on our show today.
Thank you so much for being here, Dr. Tim Slucker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. I really appreciate it. I know there's a lot of other shows, like you could have gone on John and Gordy or really any show, but you came on your own show. And that really, I appreciate that.
Because we love you, Jacob.
Yeah.
Because we love you. When you invite us, the answer is what time? I'll be there.
What time? And what do you need me to bring?
The only thing I needed you to bring today, Tim, was your good friend Johnny. So it all worked out. Nice. And it's that time of year. So this is actually a pretty special episode of the Busted Pencils Producer's Choice Show. And it wouldn't be the Producer's Choice Show without some sort of intro that I cooked up.
Uh-oh.
So here we go.
Let's do it.
No child will be left behind.
I love the poorly educated.
It is the scary month.
It is the scary month, everybody, as Dr. Tim said once to me earlier this month.
I'm a scared.
You should be, Tim. Not because of my hard questions, but because this is a special frightening edition of the Producer's Choice Show. Folks, today, I, producer Jacob, am here to introduce two terrifying guests. Dr. Tim Slucker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, thank you guys for being here on this spooky episode about the producers choosing stuff. Welcome.
Thank you, Jacob. We are very happy to be here.
Now, I know we have to get out of here. There's trick-or-treating. We don't even have our costumes on yet, so I'm not going to keep us here all day. But just a couple Halloween-related education questions, things that have been stuck in my mind since last October when I was listening to this show as a mere listener. Now I'm a producer, and I thought, oh, I can finally ask these guys these questions. So I'm going to start us off. I'm going to go to Dr. Johnny. Dr. Johnny, what's your favorite Halloween costume that you wore either as a student or a teacher? But you got to have worn this in a school.
Oh, boy. Costume in a school. Let me think about that real quick. I think I can't put my finger on my favorite. It's a close three-way tie. Okay. I got it, man. I got it. 1 year. So I had a lot of really great costumes, and it was going to be a three-way tie between my normal go-to is to keep the mustache, shape the beard, get decked out in Mario garb, and be Mario. I love to be Mario. Been him way too many times. Another version, some version of a hockey player, because I always have a bunch of hockey gear hanging around. But 1 year, I was zombie version of my favorite Red Wing at the time, Pavel Datsyuk. I was teaching math and I was zombie Datsyuk. That was one of my favorite. I had a lot of energy. It was a Friday Halloween, much like this year's. So teachers, you know, Friday Halloween's, you got a little more oomph in you because it's the end of the week, right? And you have the weekend to recover. But I did a full, you know, zombie Datsyuk costume, had the jersey, you know, the brain bucket up top and a pair of gloves and, you know, looked really like I could be zombie Pavel Datsyuk. So that was my favorite, probably top costume as a teacher. And I don't know that I, except being a kid, dressed up much in school. I didn't really. We didn't really have Halloween costumes too much in school growing up.
Johnny, I think that when it comes to hockey and Halloween, the best costume is always getting one of those full cage helmets and having half a stick poking out of the eye.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good one. You got to take advantage. You got all that space in there. You can have a little blood squirter. Yeah, every couple minutes. Anyway, just an idea for next year. I'm giving guys free advice here. But Tim, how about you? What's your favorite costume that you've worn in a school, either as a teacher or as a student?
You're going to be surprised, but I was Mr. Spock when I was a fifth grade teacher, and my ears were the best feature. Construction paper back in the supply room, cut those out, little bit of scotch tape, and I had my pointy ears, put together my shirt. And at that time, that was 1992, and kind of a lull in the Star Trek time. And for 10-year-old kids, they had no idea who I was. And I was so let down because of how hard I had worked on, you know, the ears. I did the eyebrows with, I used an eyeliner to kind of give me those eyebrows, put together the, a shirt, blue and everything. Got a pair of black pants and some black boots, tucked my pants in my boots. And I got the, Mr. Slicker, what are you? And I said, I'm Mr. Spock. And they were like, who? They had no idea who Mr. Spock was. So, does that mean that wasn't my favorite costume? No, that was my favorite costume.
You don't do it for them, Tim.
No, one of my best costumes, though, in a school, though, too. I'll give you one more just real quick. Johnny knows this. History guy, some of the things that I've done in, back in the day, I was a Civil War reenactor.
Oh,
and when I was at my very first institution of higher education, the State University of New York at Cortland, I showed up Halloween as a Union soldier from the 93rd Regiment of Pennsylvania, full Civil War garb. Did not bring the musket in, though.
And that time it was way different because you came in and all the kids were like, 93rd Division of Pennsylvania.
They were like, the 93rd Pennsylvania. No, I got the, now you're dealing with 20-year-old college students who are kind of like giving me the look like what's wrong with you? and why do you have a full Civil War uniform?
Doesn't everybody?
And then, well, that's what I was just saying. And you know what, though? Hey, if you're listening to the show, that Civil War uniform is going to go on sale next week. Just to put that out there. those are my two favorites. And, I loved Halloween. As a kid, yeah. Wow. Look at that.
Should we describe what we're seeing, Tim, because we're on the radio? Would you like to?
Yeah, Johnny Lupinacci, Dr. Lupinacci.
I got my costume on, boys. He's Podcast Panda.
He's Podcast Panda. Nice. Yes, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci kind of went off screen for a moment and came back wearing a full-headed, fully furred, black and white panda costume. Jacob, is that what you would say he's doing?
He looks perfectly normal to me, Tim. What are you talking about? Are you seeing things, Tim? Johnny, you're not wearing a costume, right?
No, I don't. Who's Johnny? This is Podcast Panda. Yeah.
I was trying to make you think you're crazy because it's Halloween. But no, he looked super cool. Not going to lie. I mean, that was one of the best costumes I've ever seen.
Yeah, that would be a cool one.
That was a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, got to go. Okay, Jacob.
Yes. Moving on to another great, awesome Halloween education-related question. We're going to round-robin this and stay with you, Tim. Dr. Tim Slicker, now, we've talked about your awesome costumes, but what's the coolest costume that you've seen either a student or a teacher colleague wear in all your years? I mean, they can't all be... I mean, I'm sure they're not as cool as Spock, but...
Favorite... school. I'm just thinking of this one. It made me laugh. Made me laugh so hard. When a kid had come in, this is when I was fifth grade, and had this incredibly weird looking costume. But if you saw him walking down the hallway, you're like, what is going on? And because it had like, you know, like these, it was like a white costume, and you're like, what's that ball hanging down? And why does he have gloves on his feet? He was going as a person walking on their hands, except that he legs became his hands. And you know, those kind of like mannequin things for, he had that head hanging, well, you know, and so it looked like, yes, he was, half of his body was walking on his hands, and then the other half of his body was his upright body. Why? In kind of cool, funny, creative, more funny watching him go on the trick-or-treating around the school to the classrooms and making him try to walk with carrying that big mannequin head, you know, where it would hang.
Now, Tim, you thought that this was confusing to see in real life. Imagine how confusing it is to hear about it on a podcast.
Okay, so describe this.
You were
this,
talking
right?
about the hamburger helper hand is what this guy dressed up
as. No, what you're talking about is so stand there, stand just as you would, and then imagine getting, you know, a fake head from a mannequin and having that attached to hang between your legs. And then on the ends of your feet, putting gloves on to mimic that you have somebody doing a walking on their hands, right?
But because what do you do about your real head?
But that's the cool part of the costume. It's like a double person.
Okay, so you look like two people who are like cartwheeling together, yeah. Basically.
It's. Like I said, I mean, it was funny and creative, but it was just more fun watching them try to walk.
Yeah.
You know, so, and, but yeah, that's probably one of my all-time favorites.
Fantastic answer, Tim.
Most creative, you know, and enjoyable, but I don't know, man, that's a tough one, though. I'm trying to think of some teacher colleagues who have really outdone themselves during that. And, you know, I've seen some really good, back to Johnny, I've seen some teachers really go all out with an incredible zombie costume, you know, to the point where it's like, okay, you spent hours getting ready to come to school this morning, because that zombie might, you look like you might have just walked off the set of The Walking Dead.
I'm going to, Tim, I really like that answer. And usually I would deduct points because this is clearly a story about something you did and you're blaming it on another student. But Tim, okay. I'm going to let that slide.
All right.
I'll give my own answer really quick. This is a hypothetical, but the best costume for a student to wear is the teacher costume. That's always a classic. Johnny, yeah. How about you? What's the best costume you've seen, not from yourself, but from a fellow student or a fellow teacher?
Yeah, I had a group of fellow teachers that were great at the team Halloween dress up. You know, they were a group of guys who were awesome to teach with. And they started it, just two of them, one year as Dumb and Dumber. Everyone remembered how awesome that was, that they collaborated on a costume that was hilarious. And then I think the next year they did, I think it was called, I can't remember what the Will Ferrell figure skating movie was called. Blades of Glory, maybe. Yeah, they did that. They had these awesome male figure skater outfits that matched just like the actor, I can't remember his name, with Will Ferrell and that. And then a following year, we all were like, it's so cool. That's so cool. And kind of the orchestrator of it, says, well, okay, that fine, this is the best one, Jacob. A whole group of teachers were different characters from Anchorman. And Anchorman had just recently been the bee's knees. So everyone kind of knew it wasn't just these dudes in suits and one of them had a cowboy hat and one guy was carrying a trident. You know, it was like, oh my gosh, our teachers were all the people from Anchorman. Big shout out to that group of teachers. That was awesome. Awesome show. Straight to the pros for that. They get big props for, you know, doing Halloween, not too scary, but fun. Always loved that version of it. Not too scary, but fun.
Hmm.
Now I wonder what's better when you're a teacher, wearing something that the kids are going to connect with, or going the opposite Tim direction where you say, I'm going to be Mr. Spock because I have been every year for the last 30 years and I don't care if you know it or not, I'm Mr. Spock. I mean, do we have thoughts on this? Because I approve of your direction, Tim. Stubbornly insisting, no. I'm Mr. Spock.
I mean, and if they didn't learn about how many of those students who thought they didn't know who Mr. Spock was by the end of that day had gotten a lesson in Mr. Spockness.
That is a fantastic point, Tim. You took an opportunity not just to have a fun time and dress up. You said, no, we're not going to have any fun. I'm going to teach you kids about Mr. Spock. That's great. Sticking with our round robin approach. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, you can have our third and final big question of the day here on a very spooky Halloween.
Spooky.
It's a pretty simple question, Johnny, and maybe you've never had this experience, but if you have, I mean, have you ever seen a ghost at a school?
I haven't.
Have you? Do you know of a ghost?
Yeah, I was
going to
say I have definitely been taught in at least three schools that were presumed to be haunted. And, you know, not going to say like I didn't, you know, poo-poo the idea, but my beliefs, I was like, you know, I'm not going to mess around with that. That seems like a real thing to me. And it always was elevated in this time of year. But yeah, three different schools all had, you know, some pretty good stories. One of an old groundskeeper, and then two of former students who unfortunately, you know, had passed away while attending school. And so there was kind of like rumors like the doors would open. You know, there would be, you know, on the security cameras, unexplained movement in the schools, or, you know, the lockers were all shut when the doors closed at night. And then the early morning crew comes in and there were certain lockers open. And so there were always, solid evidence, nothing too like Ghostbusters style, like nothing too focused. Except I will say one of the schools, I do believe there's quite like an internet cult following around like the hauntedness of it.
Oh.
And having taught there, it wasn't like a tortured haunting. Just this pretty steady presence of student testimonial of like, yeah, door just opened and closed. Or like a whole classroom saying like the door opened and then the door closed. And the teacher even being like, yeah, it was the weirdest thing ever. So love that stuff. Yeah, I think it's always part of a good lore. And who knows whether it's true or not, but listener out there, I bet you have at least a couple of stories too of spirits in the school.
Yeah, I like school spirit, and this is a different type of school spirit. Mm-hmm. But I think just for the camaraderie and the lore of your school, even, you know, if your school isn't haunted, go home today and make up a haunting for your school because it's good for morale. Okay. We need a ghost story in your school. I think we've all heard a few weird ones over the years. Tim, have you ever encountered a ghost yourself at a school, or do you know a neat legend about one of these schools you've been at?
I sadly, no, I am.
Well, show's not, over. Thanks for
not ghosting, but I will say that I, this past weekend, My wife and I went to see the Psychic Sisters in a live tour who have been featured on the TLC, the Travel Channel, A&E, and they were talking about how they've helped solve numerous mysteries. And in fact, they were at a hotel that I actually knew about, and the one Psychic Sister was scratched by a ghost that was in that hotel. And the scratch that she got on her calf then got infected and turned septic or sepsis. And this was all from a ghost, not in a school, but in a hotel. So I now know ghosts are real because there's no way she would have made that story up.
Tim, they don't let you on TLC if you're not totally reliable. I think that goes without saying.
I mean, you know, I've woken up sometimes and been like, wow, I look at that gaping wound in my leg. It must have been a ghost.
How often do you wake up with a gaping wound in your leg, Tim?
Well, I did. I'm, you know, there's a part of that story where it's like, okay, you were scratched by a ghost. Like, why did it become infected and turn and like, was it a dirty ghost? I mean, did the ghost not wash its hands?
The water goes right through their hands, Tim. So they're always, they're filthy. These poor ghosts.
Anyway, I don't have school ghost stories, but there's the best I can bring up for you, Jacob.
I've got one quick ghost story related to a hotel. And this is more my dad's story than mine. I was there, but I was sleeping in the hotel. And so my dad was there. It's a family trip, and the whole family's there, and we're all sleeping in the hotel. And my dad woke up in the middle of the night, and he swore he could feel there was a ghost. And he thought it was a bad one, okay? He thought there's a malevolent spiritual presence here in the room at this hotel with my family. But he was too tired, and he went back to bed. And the next day he tells us this. What? You thought there was a dangerous ghost, but you're too lazy to do anything? So that is my ghost story. To close us out before our famous, iconic 60 seconds starts, I mean, just generally, where are we at on ghosts as a podcast? Does this show believe in ghosts?
I think potentially there's something there in that, idea of occupying both planes sometimes. And my best evidence was, I was hunting one time and in the woods, and actually kind of came across this old cemetery, and my dog stopped dead in its tracks, looked at something, hair stood up on the back of its neck, and he wouldn't go forward. I didn't see anything, but that was kind of like going like, okay, what is it that he feels, sees there, that it was just something got his, you know, he was very disturbed. And so, you know, there you go. There's my sense of going, my dog saw one.
I was 100% sure, Tim, that you were going to say, and my only evidence was I went to see these ladies from TLC and they told me a great story. They say, Tim, I mean, if you talk to the ghost experts with their doctorates in ghostology, that animals are good at detecting spirits and things like that is what they will tell us. Johnny, where are you at on the general ghost yay or nay situation?
I'm just going with the simple yay.
I like that. Tim's answer was much too long, so that was good. You really balanced it out. But gentlemen, I see the kids lined up outside the station right now with their costumes.
Yes,
I have to go get the candy. I got to wrap this one for today, but we've got time for one last iconic segment.
Let's go!
In 60 seconds, Dr. Tim Slecker, can you tell me, do you have a costume this year, and what might it be?
I do not have a costume this year. I'm gonna make some people upset. My wife and I have decided that we're not doing Halloween this year. We're in a new house, and there are truly no kids in our neighborhood. And our neighbors said, "Yeah, we don't get trick or treaters, so we're boycotting Halloween."
Well, boy. Tim, that was a massive bummer. You just tried.
Yeah, that was a letdown for sure.
I mean, you've got the spooky bat house. You have to do some sort of Halloween thing.
Some bat.
I mean, your belfry is full this year.
Yes, it is. It's always been full. Now you've put it to me, Jacob, and I've got a little bit of time left here to maybe whip together like a Mr. Spock costume.
Well, I think there's probably, you probably have some experience with it.
So, you made me feel bad now, but come on, Johnny, save me here, man.
Yeah, Johnny, what's your 60-second Halloween costume?
So I've got two. I always have to have a backup on deck. Actually, I have three. I have Podcast Panda. That's always one.
It sounds like you've got enough for Tim to borrow a Halloween costume.
Yeah, Tim, I can mail you Podcast Panda sometime. One of my favorites that just requires that I convince a group of people going out with me to partake, and my kids poo-poo the idea every year, but I have the costume ready where I could be Gru and they can be Minions. That's one of my favorites. Also, I did that earlier this week in the classroom. A handful of students were Minions and I was Gru. But we do pretty intense trick-or-treating by us. We hit a couple of different big heavy-hit neighborhoods that are known for giving out the good candies, the full-size candy bars. But to hit all those neighborhoods in a timely manner when it's generally pretty cold, we put to use a golf cart. And I go as trusty old Mario, and it's Mario Kart time. Right. And we barrel through as Mario Kart. It's going to be one of those two. I'm leaning towards Mario Kart tonight. So,
well, I think on average, we have come together as one medium effort Halloween between Tim and I not doing anything and Johnny going out with nine different costumes, custom golf cart, and throwing turtle shells at random passerbys. So that is great. I think overall, the audience is left with a great impression that this is going to be a good Halloween and that we did a great job on the first ever Busted Pencils Producer's Choice Halloween special. Dr. Tim Slacker, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, thank you so much for coming on your own show. And Tim, I think there's time for one special Halloween quote.
Now it's time for your moment of zen. So yes, they depend on our obedience. When we withdraw it, their power disappears. It's important to know that.
Well, thanks for listening to this spooky episode of Producer Choice. And remember to grab great podcasts packed full with more Busted Pencils content on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or of course, you can always head over to the Civic Media website or find us at bustedpencils.com. Hey, and don't you dare be late for homeroom on Monday. And be sure to grab next week's class in session sometime midweek. And if you don't already know, well, then you're going to love this, folks, because you can catch Busted Pencils broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations on Saturday for 1 hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep Busted Pencils.